Hi, this is Valerie Silverthorne. We're here from Search Software Quality. We're here talking with Bruce Tolgan, the author of Bridging the Soft Skills Gap. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, good. Well,
how are you?
I'm good, too. It's a beautiful New England day. What can I say?
Excellent.
So I know you've been writing a lot about and doing a lot of research on this. Do you want to give us a quick little bio of yourself before we get going?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing research on the front lines of the workplace since 1993, and hundreds of thousands of people have participated in our research over the last more than two decades. We're in New Haven, Connecticut, Rainmaker Thinking, but we study the workforce all over the world, and primarily in North America. We've been focusing on young people in the workplace and the generational shift in the workforce for many years. And one of the issues that's come up over and over again is this growing soft skills gap among the newest, youngest people coming into the workplace. And so that's my newest book, is Bridging the Soft Skills Gap. The reason I focused on that is because this has been a growing issue. We've watched this issue develop over the last two decades, and it just continues to vex those who employ young people today.
Well, so let's start by asking you what you consider to be the soft skills, and why are they so important?
I mean, look, soft skills are, that's the term that's used to encompass a whole range of non-technical skills. You know, soft skills as opposed to the hard skills, although just because they're soft doesn't mean they're easy. But it's the whole range of non-technical skills. The model we use includes self-awareness and personal responsibility, attitude, work habits, people skills, proactive learning, problem solving, decision making, respect and appreciation for context, a service mindset, citizenship, teamwork. You know, these are the soft skills that over and over again leaders and managers tell us are missing from the new young talent that's walking in the door in their organizations every day. And these are also the critical soft skills that set people apart. The funny thing about soft skills is that there's such a demand for technical skills nowadays. You know, the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. If you're hiring healthcare professionals, there is a greater demand than supply. If you're hiring engineers, there's greater demand than supply. If you're hiring software developers, network administrators, the whole range of technical skills, there's a huge supply and demand imbalance. But as a result of that, employers have a hard time ruling people out because of their weak soft skills. So what's odd about the soft skills gap is it runs the gamut across the most highly educated, technically competent people. Often, no matter how good their technical skills, what employers tell us is they're missing so many of these soft skills. So that's what has brought our attention to this issue.
So how come you've got all these this really highly educated workforce, why aren't they taught any of these soft skills when they're at university?
Well, some colleges and universities are emphasizing the soft skill development more, but most have not. And there are a number of reasons for that. One is that a lot of these soft skills look like the old-fashioned basics, and they're just kind of out of style. You know, we live in an era of nonconformism, and these second-wave millennials, who are the newest, new, young workforce, are kind of the ultimate nonconformist in an era of nonconformism. And frankly, colleges and universities are focused on this new young segment as customers, and they want to deliver what their customers want. So there has been some increased emphasis as employers have been crying out loud about the lack of soft skills among new young hires, even those who are highly educated. And there's been some clamor for this from parents who are also, after all, the customers of colleges and universities, as they're often paying the bills. But a lot of schools, they just, they're focused on meeting the in-demand technical skills, and often they just don't have the resources or the obvious immediate return on investment. And it's just out of style. You know, telling young people today, hey, you got to show up early, stay late, bend over backwards and jump through hoops, dress appropriately, say please and thank you, listen more than you talk, look people in the eye, don't just communicate using handheld devices, have a service mindset, be a good citizen. You know, this is not exactly in alignment with everyone gets a trophy and we're all winners and all styles are equally valid. You know, today's young people have the message that all styles are equally valid and whatever they think, say, or do, that's just their style. So there's a disconnect in the zeitgeist, and also there's just not an immediate, obvious return on investment for a lot of the colleges and universities. They just don't focus on it, although some are.
Okay, so when we talk to managers, they really want software developers who are customer-facing with these tech skills that you're talking about. But do you think it's really possible to have a developer who's got these soft skills and is really, really technical? And if you think it's possible, can you give our audience some ideas as their managers how they can go about helping an employee get there?
Yeah, it is definitely possible. Look, it doesn't mean that you're going to take a highly analytical, you know, highly technical person who isn't exactly a people, you know, and turn that person into Mr. or Ms. Personality, right? You know, they don't have to become the life of the party. But what you can do is teach them some basic techniques which allow them to practice and get better. And one of the great things about analytical people, you know, we work with a lot of folks who employ highly technical professionals, software developers and systems administrators, and heck, we work for all of the major nuclear weapons research laboratories. If you think software developers can be analytical and introverted and, you know, try hanging out with some nuclear scientists. But, you know, what you do is you have to teach some very concrete techniques for interaction, the right words and gestures, body language, tone, some basic habits, scripting in advance, then practicing lines, making eye contact, some very basic techniques for training people to interact more effectively. That's one example, and it's just like any skill worth learning. It's okay to break it down and focus on the basics, turn it into a series of steps that can be practiced. And all a skill is a technique that you practice over and over and over again. So you need to arrange the techniques so that they can be practiced.
I love that idea. That's a really good point. So are there certain soft skills, though, that are harder for technical people to wrap their arms around based on your research?
Yeah, I mean, what we see is, they prefer to work on a problem on their own. They want to puzzle through things on their own. So the good news is that if you're a software developer, you start with the advantage that you're probably very good at critical thinking and breaking things down. You're very good at taking things apart and logical possibilities, generating logical possibilities. And that's great. You know, of course, those are good building blocks for any kind of thinking and learning and communicating. Self-awareness is where we usually start. And, especially with people who are so analytical, this appeals to them if you give them good, concrete exercises to develop self-awareness. And the simplest thing is to use some of the basic profiling tools. And I always recommend using multiple profiling tools so you don't get stuck thinking, oh, I am this. You know, in this particular model, I meet these criteria, and so I fall into this box. It's one of the things about doing multiple profiles and using multiple systems to gain self-awareness is then you realize I'm not just in this box, I'm in all these boxes, and these are just different ways of looking at myself. So that's self-awareness is an important starting point. I think people skills are of course, the stereotype of where highly technical professionals sometimes struggle. And like anything that's worth being good at, you have to practice. So what we recommend, not creating artificial role plays, although sometimes that's your best bet just because it's an opportunity to practice, but rather create opportunities for technical people to have real face-to-face interactions with others around real questions that require dialogue and conversation. So rather than making them artificial, make them real opportunities. And those are probably the places to start. What we find is that often software developers, it's not that they can't do the technical work. Where's often the difference between somebody who's immensely successful and somebody who's not as successful is that they really are able to talk to their customers, to the end user, and understand what this person wants, not so much in technical terms, but in terms of his or her business outcomes. Or if there's a problem, really understanding how the user is experiencing the problem. And this requires interpersonal savvy. That's the difference, I think, often between the folks who are able to do higher level work is that they're able to have those conversations with customers and end users, and then of course they can make the technical translation, but they're able to have the conversation in a way that's meaningful for the user. So that's, I think, probably the most important one to focus on. But it's self-awareness and people skills. That's the process that I would follow.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's talk now about the differences between women and men. From your research, do women need a different set of soft skills to get ahead these days, or is it the same set of soft skills? I'm just curious what you think.
Yeah, my view is, I'm not an expert on gender difference, but I can tell you over the years, of course, we see data and we see examples over the years, but I think they're the same skills that are necessary for success for men and for women. But I think, of course, there may be differences in terms of, you know, natural ability or in terms of social pressure or public acceptance or, you know, what folks might expect from a woman as opposed to a man. But my view is that men and women need to have the same basic soft skills. And I think, you know, look, any diversity lens you look through, you could start to be much more precise and talk about 25-year-old women from Seattle as opposed to 26-year-old women from Cleveland, and you could probably come up with some meaningful distinctions. But, I turn to the experts on gender issues in the workplace. So on that question, I'll say lean in.
Always good advice. Bruce, thank you very much. We've been talking with Bruce Tolgan, author of Bridging the Soft Skills Gap. Appreciate your time, Bruce.
Thank you so much for having me.